Thank you for recording this May 3rd with Lyons for department heads. Let's just do a quick check in. Just kind of chime in with the name of the county that you're representing today.
Calumet.
Calumet.
Howdy, Gaming.
Florence County.
Iowa County.
Oneida.
Again.
Bayfield County.
Thank you.
Sawyer.
Okay.
Green.
Adams.
Washington.
Hi.
Taylor.
Where did
it go? Hi. County. Burnett.
Barron County.
Kenosha County.
Douglas. Portage.
Winnebago.
Iron.
Boygan.
Dono.
Stark County.
Manitowoc.
Jefferson.
Clark.
Sounds like we've got a good turnout for today, so I appreciate your time and willingness to join us. We are recording this. I understand that this conflicts with a monthly Conrad teleconference as well, too. So this is going to be recorded, and we'll be able to share that with those that aren't in attendance. But I'm going to turn this over. We'll kind of be popping back and forth, but I've got Dave Berard, Tricia Corby, and Nathaniel at the table. Nathaniel's taking notes as well, but we're going to start off just kind of talking about the purpose and why we're kind of reinstituting this teleconference. So, Dave?
Thank you, Matt. Many of you remember that we had a monthly department head conference previously that was suspended for a few months. And the focus of that was more about understanding what's happening with next-gen planning and how some of those things are being communicated out to county stakeholders. Since that time, Tricia Gorby has come on as our implementation manager for cooperative extension and the project, and we're transitioning from design and planning to more implementation, and Matt and I are a piece of the first implementation being brought on as assistant deans. And so the focus of the conversation changes. There's a lot of recommendations and decisions in the pipeline for the sponsors that the sponsors are currently reviewing that will be released as decisions and or recommendations for feedback and input from you and others. But really the focus of this is for Matt and I as the assistant deans, the regional directors, the regional associates, the regional operation program associates, the county department heads, and as of July, the area extension directors to all be on the same page as far as implementing and working through the details of how these decisions are actually turned into programmatic changes and a smooth transition with all of us kind of working together on the same team. So this is really meant to talk more about the specifics, not of what does the next generation project mean. Those come out from Heidi Zorb in the communication newsletter, but more how do we handle the mechanics and the details of a transition between now and the end of the year. So that's the overall change, shift in focus that I'll just start with. And so what we'll be talking about on these department head whizlines coming up are a lot more of the mechanics, operational policies that are being developed, and details of how is this actually going to be implemented. With that, we have quite a few things on the agenda, and a lot of them are connected to each other, but part of the first step is maybe to give you an update on what's happening with the area extension director hires, and Matt is kind of heading up that process.
Yeah, and I guess I'd say that not a lot has changed since my reports on Monday with the Dean's Wishline or the Hangout. But just a brief summary again of where we're at. We've had 40 applicants that have applied for those 18 multi-county areas. We will be reviewing those applicant materials this week. The search and screen committee meets on Monday, May 8th, and at that time we'll be finalizing the list of finalists who will be invited to Madison for those interviews. And we're looking at, we've currently held dates from May 15th through May 26th. It likely isn't going to start May 15th. And I may not need to go through the 26th. I know that we're pushing it up against Memorial Day weekend there. So, but those are the 2 weeks we've blocked off for interviews with the candidates. And we're also trying to, during that same 2 week period, try to have an opportunity for staff, for partners, for stakeholders to within an area, look at the candidates that have expressed interest or preference for those areas and be able to submit feedback on strengths and limitations for those candidates. Those summaries will be compiled by HR and provided to the search committee following the final interviews as another source of feedback and information to consider. The process will be communicated via the Next Generation Communications piece. I think there may be this, I'm not sure, Tricia, if a separate email will be going out to some of these partner groups, and colleagues will certainly hear about this as well, too.
Yeah, we'll be using our kind of normal email lists and listservs to reach out to our groups, as well as have that information posted on our Next Gen Communications. And so I think that week that we're going to be is not a typical external communications week, and so we'll be having something basically special to all those groups that are interested. So we look forward to hearing from them and have that window open for that entire two-week period.
And again, I express appreciation of the search and screen committee. Dave and myself are serving as co-chairs. We have Ann Keim, Candy O'Neill, Larry Jones, and Gerald Carruthers, and Karen Hintz is our HR lead, so we have good support from HR as we're moving through this process. So that's a brief summary. Are there any questions about the process or any aspects of that?
Matt, this is Shelley Tieneman and Denise Rutzloff in Fond du Lac, and we have the question in regards to, will there be a bio available for stakeholders should they want to review the individuals who are being referred or being suggested as AED for respective areas if we do not know them?
So I can answer that. This is Tricia again. Thank you for your question. Right now what we have planned is that the candidates, the finalist materials would be available via that survey we mentioned, so that when you choose an area of interest, and then you'll see a list of those who are finalists and have indicated that as a preference for that area. And then you'll also be able to click on their application materials, basically their CV and cover letter. Now, so that really helps, will address that question of having a little bit more information to speak to when you want to provide that feedback.
This is Tim up in Bayfield County. Just a question, when are the area directors supposed to be assuming their new positions? Is that expected to be July 1st or some other time?
We're targeting July 1.
Okay.
There will be some, there will be some onboarding, some orientation and training. The positions might not be fully functional, but there will be a communication around shifting of roles and responsibilities coming out before July.
Yeah, we're planning a first kind of real more 1 to 2 day onboarding right immediately with the new directors, and then we'll have a longer training plan for mid to late July.
I think we also recognize that these area directors weren't really necessarily planning for this as they were planning their educational programs going out, so there's probably going to be some transition time where there may be some desires from these area directors to wrap up some programming. So we'll need to be flexible and work around that, but I think this from July when they come on board, a key key priority for them will be developing relationships in those new counties within that area.
And we'll talk more about the strategy for how transitions will occur a little bit later in the agenda.
Any other questions? So thank you, Shelley, for the question. I think in short, I don't anticipate a special bio is going to be written up for each candidate. I think the same information will be available that the review committee will have, as well as what the stakeholders will be able to see. And that's a cover sheet and or the cover letter, as well as a CV.
Matt, what are the plans for partners who may not have computer access to obtain the information? What plans have been made there?
Well, I think that might be an invitation to their local extension office, and they'd have a chance to go online at the office to review those materials. Good question. Trish is writing that down. Thank you, Mary.
And that's something, as I mentioned, we'll have the more detailed instructions on how to access that feedback process, and so that's a great one that we'll need to add in, as if they don't have computer access, how they can do so. Thank you.
Any other questions before we move on with the agenda? Okay.
So I'll move forward. There's a few agenda items that are kind of connected. We don't have to go through them individually, but Matt and I were assigned responsibility for kind of developing both a strategy and for implementing the transition as decisions come out, along with the current regional directors and the county department heads, again, the soon-to-be area extension directors and regional office folks, regional associates as well. We're all going to be needed, because there's a lot of work to do between now and the end of the year. Some of the scope of that transition initiative is kind of recommendations on administrative support needs as area directors come on, establishing clear communication lines and frameworks for implementation and tracking of how we're communicating with county governments. We'll be responding to specific questions of implementation, and while we might not have the answer, part of our job as both Matt and I and the regional directors and others is to try to track down the response to those questions, and Tricia is a great resource to us in those areas. And we're also to kind of identify some risks and issues that may arise during the transition process, and providing not only what are some of the risks are, but what are we able to do about them, what are some of the recommendations moving forward. So there are several kind of workflows that we're engaged in. One is just the effort in hiring and onboarding of the area extension directors and getting them situated, the logistics, all those types of things. Another one is the integration work group is really finalizing some programming and staffing models, and we understand that those are going to be necessary at least in enough detail that we can have significant conversations with the counties about what 2018 looks like. There's through the IWG, they're framing out currently what contracts and MOUs might look like as we move forward, both in two contracting processes. One, to do a six-month extended contract, which would be July 1 through December 31st, at the kind of concurrently with having contract discussions and engaging in the county's budget development process for their 2018 calendar year budget. And the intent is that all the counties would switch to a calendar year contract rather than fiscal year contract as of January 1, 2018.
So that's kind of a change for most counties. About two-thirds of the counties are on a fiscal year contract. About a third of them are on a calendar year contract, and so part of the recommendations is converting those all the counties to be consistent with the calendar year, and I think the feedback we seem to have received so far, majority of that's been positive or favorable of that. When Dave and I were at a recent meeting, ICC don't need to get into the acronym, but seven counties were present there, and they seemed to think that that was a positive piece so that our budgets aligned with the county budgets. It creates some complications for budgeting somewhat, but we can work with that.
And so then there's a kind of like a separate workflow, but also connected. All these have several interdependencies, but is the communications plan and strategy, and that's both tracking our status and communication with the counties, and all of your work on budget timelines, contracts, and those type of things, and also aligning that with the decisions that are coming out and how we can actually have a reasonable conversation with both those decisions and the counties and their interests about what the future looks like. Overall, I think our primary strategy and part of the primary reason Matt and I were brought on board is really to sit down and have those specific county-level conversations where they feel that they're getting the programs that they need and they feel that they're getting the best return on their tax levy dollars that they're investing in extension. I want to talk a little bit about some fundamental assumptions that we're going to approach moving forward. And I also understand that this will be highly dynamic, flexible, and that we're going to have to all make some adjustments on the fly as we move through this. But one of the assumptions is before removing existing roles and responsibilities that we'll identify the new processes that are to be put in place, and we'll communicate those clearly and the date that there will be a transition. So for example, as it applies to county department heads, regional directors, and regional associates, we don't expect there to be a transition of regional director roles until the area extension directors are brought on board. So currently, county department heads will maintain their existing relationship with regional directors, and then we'll announce some formal communication when and if anything changes. So at this point, continue to utilize your regional directors as your first point of contact regarding information, questions, and at some point when it's announced roughly in July, the regional director's role is likely to shift more from having the direct accountability for those operational pieces, but more as supporting the area extension directors and helping them come up to speed, so coaching, mentoring, and support. So
one other very relevant aspect to this transition piece here that Dave is alluding to is as we move into the budget season, the department heads are going to have a key role in terms of fostering those communications, negotiating with counties and such. We can't expect the area extension directors, when they come on in July, to be up and running and effective and having those conversations. So we'll be looking to the department heads as we talk about this a little bit more this morning to have a key role in terms of those budget communications.
And Matt is currently working revamping some of the work that a great group did a year or two back on department head expectations, accountability, rewards, and support, and clarifying how the department head role will be critical and crucial in implementing the transition moving forward, because frankly nobody knows the work and the mechanics of that better than people who are actually doing it. So a couple of other pieces. One is that the ultimate goal of the transition is actually to have 2018 contracts in place with programmatic and staffing models solidified, actually agreed upon perhaps in September, and then passed through the county budget process as it's published in October and as it's approved in November. And so working back from that timeline, there's a lot that needs to occur between now and then. It looks like the existing contracting processes for this six-month contract extension will still be in place, where you'll be sent, county department heads will be sent contracts from the budget office. And we're, Tricia and I are following up on exactly when, but it looks like the fiscal and budget office will have to close out the end of the fiscal year in June in order to provide those contract reconciliations, which, well, do some payback for vacant positions and other types of things, and that that those contracts probably won't come out to the counties until August, which means, depending on when they come out, they may go to your extension committees in September or late August, depending on when your committee schedule aligns. So I'll stop there with just the contracting piece. While we're doing the six-month contract, there will also be, again, some counties are starting to already engage in their 2018 county budget discussions, and we don't have exactly all the information yet, but we're working on a strategy to at least engage in those conversations with enough detail that we can have a solid placeholder for the 2018 budget. So I'll stop there and see if there are any comments or questions.
So this is Sharon Nelson, and I have to have my staffing and budgetary things done by August 1st, and I think we're a little late, so I'm concerned about that.
This is Debbie in Lincoln County, and I need to have my budget to my committee by the first Monday of June for their action, because it has to be submitted by June 30th.
We're getting those, and we appreciate those. We're tracking those, and Tricia's going to talk a little bit later about a survey that we're going to try to get out maybe today or later this week, that where we can capture all those budget dates and requirements and then develop a plan to how to address those. So we had the conversation. We've had the conversation with several, Carl, Heidi, Tricia's had it with the budget office and other things about what, how we can participate in those processes fully without having all the detail built out on actual prices and other things.
So I guess, Karen, let's dig into your situation a little bit more. Are they, Columbia County, is that looking more at kind of levels of staffing, or are they looking for kind of firm budget numbers, or what do you need by, what did you say, June 1st?
No, that's
not. Debbie needed it by June 1st. I need it by August 1st, and I, you know, it'll, I mean, short of saying that they just need to continue to fund and we'll figure it out in 2018, and I don't know how excited they're going to be about that process. We have vacant positions. I think that they will have an expectation that we know what staffing is and what the costs are. So they're feeling, you know, they feel really frustrated.
Sure. Yeah.
I can also say within Sheboygan, we need to have, like, specific line items budgeted out by mid-June.
So, this is Mike in Burnett County. I will be submitting a, or will need to submit a detailed budget staffing specific line items by July 6th.
So this is what our survey is going to ask you about, and then we're going to track that, and then we're going to, we may have to deal with some of the earlier ones on a individual case specific basis at, while we're preparing the overall strategy that's going to apply to maybe those that are don't have to submit until July or August. So we understand how important it is, how critical it is. We understand the nature and dynamics of not having information at the table. And so we'll some of your earlier ones will be talking to you individually, and we'll be trying to work through your scenarios. And some of the later ones, we hope to have more specific data to be able to bring you. So please, when you get that survey, it's going to ask you about what are some of the dates of your committee meetings, whether they're going to be discussing processes or when you have to have budget data in place.
So I might as well jump in here now, because I think that's a big question. And thank you already for sharing those dates and needs. So not just like the date, but exactly what you need, line items, information and such. So what, because not everybody could make it on the call, and we know that there's a lot of you out there, the survey really helps capture that, and so please do, we want to do this in the next couple days. So essentially we have, we'd like to collect this information by Friday. I'd say it's relatively short. Really what we're asking for is those kind of drop dead dates that you need that information. What's the earliest? What's the possible latest? And then some of the meetings as well. So what are some upcoming meetings that you already have on your schedule over the next 6 months, essentially, so that we have a better understanding. We realize, and already we're hearing just differing dates from, you know, that span within a month or more. And so that's one thing that we want to be able to capture for kind of for everybody. And then with the expectation of getting that information to you and so that we can make those calls and those direct contacts appropriately. Please do add information. There's also going to be spots to say what are some of the issues you're running into, both from, and Matt and Dave mentioned the kind of the two processes. One is that contract extension for those counties that need to for the 2017, so the next 6 months. And Dave talked a bit about that date, the kind of the process and date, which is more mid to late summer, early fall. For that process. So if there's anything that you're running into regarding that process or you have some concerns, we'd like to hear that too. Again, we'll have more time on this call to hear those and address them right away, but we do want to provide a process. And then as well as some other concerns you may have just overall. So we do have that information so we can collect it. And then what we want to do is, again, we'll talk a little bit more about this communication with everybody, just start initiating this communication more regularly. We will have kind of more, as we collect these questions, feedback in those weekly communications, internal, those external every other week, please do read those. So as we collect, some of the questions that we will be collecting regularly may address some of the concerns you have. You may not have known it yet, but some of the questions may come in that are relevant to you. So please do keep an eye on those. One thing that's what we're trying to do is kind of ramp up the communication. So opportunities.
So I'll continue with a few more assumptions. But again, our goal here with these conversations, and Matt and I are going to try to institute perhaps a weekly communication around some specific questions and answers, is really to get you the questions, answers, information you need so you can be effective in your roles moving forward. We've talked a lot, people have asked a lot about program statewide needs assessment and other types of things. As we're going through this transition, there will be conversations with the counties about their programs and priorities around those programs as it relates to staffing levels. But really, it will be kind of more of an area extension director and whatever statewide program planning function we have that will be putting in place a broader, longer-term needs assessment process. So we won't be going out and doing needs at the same time we're trying to negotiate contracts and programs within the next 6 months or so. There will be eventually area directors are charged with developing overall plans of work for those areas, which include individual county plans. So there will be some process put in place. But I just want to say that there's not a big statewide needs assessment going to probably occur at the same time we're negotiating these contracts. The other piece is that we've all been faced with, in the past many, many years, of who has responsibility for what and where does the actual decision-making and responsibility lie. And we'll try to be clear on that as we move through the transition process, because roles and responsibilities are you know, it's going to be very, very dynamic and shifting. And what we don't really want to do is have multiple groups feeling they have the primary responsibility or ownership for the same things, or nobody actually defined it that is able to follow up on that. And hopefully that can be part of Matt and my hopefully weekly communications to you. And then I just want to touch on at a high level kind of a summary of milestones and timelines. And again, earlier in the conversation I said that there's several workflows happening, and each of these have their own detailed process and timelines. But as it impacts our team, if you will, the all of us involved in moving this geographic transition forward. In May, we hope to develop the communication strategies, the transition plans, and roles and expectations for all of us. Matt and I, the regional directors, the county department heads, are framed throughout the process. And then we're hoping to have some specific operational decisions. Tricia's helping with that, and Carl and Heidi, of things like when do contracts go out, what do appointment letters look like. There's a variety of operational details that need to be, decisions need to be built around. In June, we're hoping to have the area director at least selected and offers extended. And we're understanding that even as late as, even as early as May and beginning of June, we're going to have a strategy for talking through 2018 contracts with certain counties. And so some have even contacted us that they need to have budget information into the administrator by the end of May. In July, we're going to, the area extension directors will be brought into place, and it will be communicated that that RD responsibilities will be shifting in many cases over to the area extension directors. However, the regional directors will still be on board. At that particular point, we're not expecting that most of the county department head roles related to how the office functions, the signing of invoices or the attending county department head meetings or the mechanics of the local office will be transferred over. We're expecting that the county department heads will operate in that function through that period and into the fall, at which point that you'll probably be working with the area extension directors to really come out with a concrete list of roles that you play that are necessary to the function in the office, and then there'll be some kind of assessment of actually what systems do we put in place before those roles actually are transferred or shifted to another individual. Again, these county budget discussions will be ongoing. In August, we're hoping that the contract extensions will be mailed out with the reconciliation. And the 2018 contract and the 2017 contract will actually be kind of separate processes. The intent of the 2017 contract extension is that will be fully closed out at the end of the year, because there'll be a new contract structure in place as of July 1. So, for any open positions or anything, you know how the current contracts are just kind of a rolling contract and just reconciled from year to year. There would actually be I think the intent is that actually there's going to be a reimbursement back to the county for the end of the 2017 contract, and then the 2018 will start a brand new contract process. And then we're hoping that we understand that counties might be hesitant to sign 2018 contracts without having the 2018 budget approved. But we, in September, we'd like to have an understanding of at least, is there an agreement? Has there been a motion by the, by the committee to accept the contract, or at least some kind of operating consensus of what will be put into the budget for 2018 around the positions. And then obviously, we're hoping that the 2018 county budgets will be approved, and I know that you all shepherd and ride herd on those, and that you stick pretty close to home during that period, because you never, the finance committee can make last-minute decisions, and we're counting on the department heads to have that ear to the ground through that process. And then by December, obviously, there'll be a strategy planned in early fall, but by December then, there'll be a clear strategy in place for fully shifting perhaps those department head roles and responsibilities. So that's a lot, but I want to just kind of talk you through the overall timeline as it's being fleshed out, and as we have these conversations over the next few months, you'll be integral in informing exactly how those things work. Any thoughts or questions about the overall process?
Could you just go through the plans of work again? How will they be developed for individual staff in the county?
So that hasn't been framed out yet. What I was talking about is the area extension director will be expected to develop an area plan of work.
Okay. All right.
And so, I'll go back to my first assumption is that until we have developed a new process and it's been communicated, that we'll continue to abide by the same processes that we're under now, same rules.
Okay, that's good. Thank you.
Other questions?
Has it been decided yet if the area director will remain in one office or will they be floating office to office each week, checking in on everything?
So first of all, I mean, that's part of the area extension director build out, but I want to do some framing up front for county department heads. I don't want it to be assumed that the area extension director is either a multi-county department head or a mini regional director or a regional director that has smaller geography. The relationship of the area extension director to the county will be more like the relationship that the regional director have. They won't be managing the day-to-day affairs. But part of the build-out of that is for county department heads to really identify what is needed to effectively function in that that local office environment, and then making sure that we're not just eliminating functions that somebody else is going to have to pick up or that aren't accounted for. So you'll be part of that building out that process. But I think part of the assumption is that the area extension director is just going to do the same thing that local county department heads do over multiple counties, and that's not how the position has been framed and built.
So, Dave, who will do the day-to-day operations in the county?
So that's what we're going to have to that's what we're going to have to build up out a strategy for. The regional director or the area extension directors won't be subordinate or employees of a county. And so what we'll have to have your help on is identifying all those roles and critical tasks that need to be played, and then we'll have to do some kind of process where we say, well, you know, when I came on in the county, I found out I was a manager of the county dams as county department head, and I did the audit for the fair. I mean, we'll have to go through those things and say, well, sorry, not a role for the area extension director. Let's talk with the county about how that might get handled in another way. Or we might say it's important for the area extension director to connect from time to time with county department heads meetings so they have that relationship across it, and we'll figure out a way to do that. At this point, we don't know the specifics, and that's why our conversation is really shifting as to how do we determine those specifics rather than what is the next generation plan moving forward.
And it is difficult because there have been some situations already where a department head has indicated that they're kind of responsible for scheduling plowing in the wintertime for their parking lot and such. So every county has these unique situations, and we'll have to kind of address those as we learn more about that, as those area extension directors come on board and develop those relationships and connections with the current department heads that'll be, you know, in their roles through December to help us kind of work through this.
So we need your help.
This could be adding responsibilities to someone's position, mm-hmm. and so that could be changing position descriptions for possibly county employees or extension employees. Yeah. And is there going to be compensation for that? Or reclassification if it's someone in the county that has to do that. Has there been thought given to that?
So, yes. So thought has been given out to the fact that that's what we need to determine, and we need some decisions made around those things. We all understand that just by taking away resources doesn't mean the work goes away. And so we have to have a clear and thoughtful strategy of how the necessary work gets done. And we have to have an understanding of Extension's relationship with the counties in that some of that work will be clearly Extension's work, and other parts of that work will be clearly not Extension's work. So that's all part of the detailed transition work that we're all going to have to do together.
Dave and Matt, this is Shelley and Denise in Fond du Lac, and the question that I guess I have here is, what you have just explained is not what our stakeholders are understanding when this was communicated. And so when you're talking about the day-to-day things, I echo a little bit on what Karen Dickerall said, in that as there are day-to-day things like signing invoices and all these types of things, that if you're going to ask somebody within the county office, that will change somebody's job description. And those are things that the stakeholders have not been privy to, because the way the communication has gone all this time is that these AEDs are going to be taking over the roles and that local control of the what departments always have done.
The other part of that is also, who's just going to make sure that the office is open and functioning that day? I mean, that's, again, an expectation that the county stakeholder has of the department head, is to make sure that the office is open and functioning. And if that is not the expectation of the area extension directors, whose role is that?
And that's, yes, thank you. And those are great observations, and it's exactly what we need to find out and work through. We actually need to spend time working through that detail by detail, as opposed to, you know, a lot of planning processes, and I've been involved in a lot of them in my, you know, 34 years in education doing org development. It's not because they don't work because you have the greatest plan in the world. They either succeed or fail because of the actual execution of it. And so that's why our role in this transition is so critical. We need to figure out a way to identify those specific tasks and say, how are those going to get done, and what are the implications of us either not doing it or somebody else doing it. And I see you're raising some valid points. However, I do see that we have some initial pressing priorities, and since we actually have the county department heads continuing to do those things that you're doing now until December, that buys us some time to really do some thoughtful and detailed work on that.
Dave, originally when Dean Martin shared the information, he talked about when the initial contracts are submitted for county's approval, that there would also be a 3-year memorandum of understanding. I've not heard you mention that in the timeline at all today. Has something changed? You've talked about in September you're looking for a motion, some operating consensus or whatever. Where is the memorandum of understanding in the process?
Right now.
What's the plan for that?
Yeah, right now we're tracking that as in the timeline as far as September to try to get those signed also in the context of the contract. And part of the reason for that, I mean, the integration work group is right now is trying to develop a framework around memorandum understanding. But I could see our conversations, like the ones you're just bringing up, actually being built into the memorandum of understanding of what are the county's roles, what are extension roles, and how are the processes going to work as we relate to each other. So we might have to move, we might, in order to get that MOU in September, we might have to move some of those conversations about the detailed tasks that department heads play. I was hoping that we would put that assessment kind of on the area extension director's plate to go out and work with you to say, well, here's this laundry list of tasks that county department heads play that we need to come to some decisions and resolution around, and that mostly nobody in the organization really knows about except the county department heads who actually perform those functions. So I apologize for not mentioning that. I was kind of just giving a gloss over.
Could the summary be that the area directors, area managers, will have some standard things they will do for every county, and then individual counties will determine those details we just discussed?
That could be part of the implementation.
Okay.
Dave, this is Chris Kniep, and I'm sorry if you've covered this already, but is there a list, so to speak, of the things that the contract will cover for individual educators? For example, will it include professional development and mileage and resource materials and, you know, the things that are typically line-itemed in a county budget that now would be part of a larger contract? Because for us in Winnebago County, and I would think probably some others, it will mean transferring dollars into different accounts in that budgeting process that full county board gets involved with?
Yeah, thank you for that. That's being worked out right now through the IWG process and the project team to frame that out. I can say that the initial front end of that is the consideration of at least some professional development costs and travel costs being part of the contract, and then that will be transferred over, and then will be redistributed to individual colleagues through our UW processes. And there's other status around things like IT and others are quite uncertain at this specific time.
Yeah, that might be take place a little bit later, the IT support and such, because we've had the discussions about we already have county support in most cases, and we do have some glitches in terms of maybe bandwidth or access to software such as Google, but I think it might be easier to kind of continue to navigate through that versus try to centralize IT right now and absorb a huge expense.
I agree. That's a huge one. But if we as department heads can share with our county finance departments, county execs, whoever, that this is a change that we will be making in our budgets from what we submit now, because I'm another one of those due soon.
Mm-hmm.
That would, you know, just kind of a general statement of how you see us going in this regard, I think, would be helpful.
Thank
in
you.
Columbia County, we have chargebacks for IT, and so we need to know how many computers we need and if we need a laptop. So if that leader is going to need something from Columbia County, a dongle for access remotely, that all needs to be budgeted in the budget.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. Yeah, thank you for those comments too. And again, I'll keep reinforcing that until there's been a clear decision and announcement that we're doing something a different way, we're keeping our current processes in place. And we're really working hard on this end. And again, thank you, Tricia, for tracking all these operational things that we have to make decisions on. There's a lot of work being done, and as you're all aware, there's a lot of there's an incredible amount of interdependency from all the within all the decisions that we're going to have to make in order to execute this in a way that makes us look better than we have in the past, perhaps, and keeps the counties in our corner.
Dave and Matt. This is Paul from Iowa County. I was approached by our county administrator, and he was asking me yesterday, like, he'd like to appoint a department head after area directors are assume their roles, because he'd like to have somebody that he would be able to ask on a day-to-day question. So, I mean, I didn't know how to answer that to him. I mean, he is the boss of the county. In Southwest Wisconsin, we are the only county that has an administrator, and he feels like he has this right to appoint somebody if we're not going to have anybody in the future. I wasn't sure how to answer that to him. I know it's one of these little individual idiosyncrasies of a county workings, but Larry, our county administrator, is just wondering who would he call or talk to if he has an immediate question that he needs an answer, and perhaps the area director was someplace else.
Yeah. So there has been conversation within the IWG of having a identifying a point of contact for a local office, even though they wouldn't have the same role as an existing county department, and they would be a person that's listed as if you go on the website in Nebraska and look at their model, they have people that are listed in an office but covering kind of multiple areas, but they also have a who's the first point of contact for the office. But I think, Paul, it would be the area director's responsibility to sit down and have a conversation directly with Larry of what do you need and how can we try to help make that work.
I think the one question he had is that who's going to attend the – we have county department head meetings, and he was wondering who will be representing the extension office at department head meetings.
And that's one of those functions that we'll have to maybe we'll have to develop a broad strategy for, and maybe the area extension directors will have to have individual conversations. I'll give you an example. In my county, the Regional Planning Commission covers 10 counties, and mostly they didn't go to meetings unless there was an issue that they had to present on the agenda or the county specifically requested it. But my committee wanted to have them there all the time, just for whatever reason. And I think that part of the we are going to make a transition out of our present mental models and frameworks to some new frameworks. And sometimes you just can't go cold turkey on, you just can't say as of July 1 we're no longer attending any county department meetings, or so we'll have to work through that. We'll have to figure that out, and that's why our communication, RDs, the county department heads, the new area extension directors, Matt and I, is going to be really critical over the next 8 months.
So, Paul, I'd say for the immediate future, let Larry know that you continue in your role as department head through the end of the year, through December 31st, and in that transition time, and I can be part of those conversations with Larry as well, too, but the area extension director will be on board. You're still going to be present in your role, I'm hoping and assuming, so... There'll be those opportunities to continue to have discussions and see how we can best, provide the coverage and assure that he's going to have access to someone, whether it's a point person in the office or these area extension directors. Currently, our department heads are out and about doing their programming, so it's not like they're in the office every single day, 24, well, during the normal business days. So
we have a... We're coming to the end of our conference call. I don't know if there's anything more that Tricia has to add about the survey and or just kind of a summary or assessment of next steps.
Yeah, so thank you so much for all these questions, and we're collecting them and look forward to feeding sort of more information as it comes, too. So, again, I want the intent from Matt and Dave and the regional directors, too, is to just start making sure we have this regular communication and feedback process. So we're sensitive to these pressures, and so hearing it from you is really important. So please do answer that survey, too, coming out. And because what I'm hearing is a lot of different unique cases, and that information is really important to get up the chain up here so everybody hears it as loud as we can, too. So please do answer the survey. We're going to be coming out with some highlights. Not everybody I know was able to attend the call, so we'll have, if you want to, if others are asking, but we'll have a link to this recording in our Friday communications. We'll have some highlights and information shared also during this call. And then as soon as we can, we'll get some frequently asked questions and information out on there. I'd like to say Friday, but again, we might need a little bit more time just to make sure we have collected all those questions and then have that information ready to you all. So those are some kind of immediate things, basically on the communications piece. And then do feel free, again, as that Matt and Dave shared, that we do see that your role, you know, and that kind of line of communications with those RDs, we're just really happy to have everybody sort of on board and collaborative on this process. So this is, again, we're kind of trying to catch up in some ways. So a lot of the design work has been ongoing, but we know that this work needs to really get into that implementing. And so we're kind of trying to get that rolling as fast as we can. So, but please do communicate up also to your RDs any of these questions, and we'll make sure that we answer them.
Do we have a date for our next conference?
So we were trying to set this up as a recurring monthly meeting until we decide we don't need it. And we had set it up for 9 o'clock on the first Wednesday of the month, and we realized that process was right over with the Conrad Whistling. And I think that these meetings were actually originally set up for 10 o'clock. I don't recall, but could we – I know that whatever date we set, it's going to be conflicting to somebody, but we'd like to just set this up for 10 o'clock on the first Wednesday of the – is this the first Wednesday of the month? Yeah, first Wednesday of the month. So
on June 7th.
Maybe we can send out a – can we send out a calendar appointment or just a – regular recurring meeting date at the first Wednesday of the month at 10 o'clock.
Yeah, so somebody was mentioning that would be June 7th, and so we're just trying to identify this time so we're not overlapping too much with others. But
so June 7th, 10 o'clock. Thanks, Tim.
Yep.
In the staffing timeline, when is it going to be determined how many we are doing a space needs. This is Karen Dickrell. So we're being asked how many offices we're going to be needing. Do we have any idea when some of that timeline information might happen?
Office for current staffing, office for maybe hosting a Eric's.
Yeah, I mean, right, we had to give up an office to land conservation, and they're wanting to know in the future what our staff is going to need for office space.
So why don't you work directly with Matt and Gerald on that? We'll try to get the information if we can as soon as we can get it. But
okay,
yeah,
thank you.
That's another piece of communication. Which again, just if you do hear, there's some counties have been proposing or offering space for the new area extension directors, and we've been collecting that as well because we're. As these hires come on, we're gonna need to figure out again where that space might be, and there's a lot of pieces that are dependent upon that exact where. So if you do hear any of that information, please also share that because we want to be able to figure that into the decision process.
Okay, well, greatly appreciated, everybody.
Could I ask a quick question? Because of all the beeping, I couldn't hear it. The next. June 7th at 9 or 10?
Let's make it 10 o'clock.
Thank you.
Dave, you also didn't address if there's a need to go external for hiring for AEDs. What does that do to the time frame? Or is this process one that's like doing a puzzle, we will just fit somebody there to make it happen for the time frame?
We haven't clearly framed that strategy yet, but one is we are hoping to get the area director position, extension director positions filled. There may be some interim coverage strategies that by regional directors and by some interim other folks as we're moving through the process. Trisha has actually developed a timeline and process for external hiring of area extension directors, but we haven't really discussed it much because we're hoping we don't need it.
Yeah, and that would follow this first hiring because we really do want to try to get this process up and going. So we want to work through the first internal hiring process, and then that would be staged right after if we needed it. So we've got that, but you can imagine that really pushes us out in past.
Okay, thank you, everybody, and we'll be in touch.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye.